Devahuti talking to her son Kapila about 4,375,233 years ago, give or take 5,000 years. Tatikshava. Remember? Tatikshava Karunika. Yeah? You know? No more? Tatikshava Karunika. Suhurda.
Yeah. Working on it. Yeah. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hey, back up here. This is a third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. See, when Jesus Christ was born, these guys came from the east bringing gifts. So here we are, coming from the east, bringing gifts. The Srimad Bhagavatam by camel. By camel. Third canto. Maitreya said, when Kardama Muni left for the forest to take sannyas, renunciation, Lord Kapila stayed on the strand of the Bindu Sarovar to please his mother, Devahuti. When Kapila, who could show her the ultimate goal of the absolute truth, was sitting leisurely before her, Devahuti remembered the words of Brahma, and therefore she began to question her son as follows. Devahutiravacha
Devahutiravacha
Nirvina
Nitaram
Bhuman
Asad
Indriya
Tarshanat.
I am very sick of the disturbances caused by my material senses, For because of this sense disturbance, my Lord, I have fallen into the abyss of ignorance. Your Lordship is my only means of getting out of this darkest region of ignorance, because you are my transcendental eye, by your mercy only, I have attained after many, many births. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin and Supreme Lord of all living entities. You have arisen to disseminate the rays of the sun in order to dissipate the darkness of the ignorance of this universe. Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion. Due to my feeling of false ego, I have been engaged by your maya and have identified myself with the body and consequent bodily relationships. I take shelter of your lotus feet because you are the only person of whom to take shelter. You are the axe, which can cut down the tree of material existence. I therefore offer my obeisances unto you, who are the greatest of all transcendentalists. I require from you as to the relationship between man and woman and between spirit and matter. Maitreya uvacha. Maitreya said, after hearing his mother's uncontaminated desire for transcendental realization, the Lord thanked her within himself for her question, and thus his face smiling, he explained the path of the transcendentalists who are interested in self-realization. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The yoga system which relates to the Supreme Lord and the individual soul, which is meant for the ultimate benefit of the living entity, and which causes detachment from all happiness and distress in the material world, is the highest yoga system. O most pious mother, I shall now explain unto you the ancient yoga system, which I explained formerly to the great sages. It is serviceable and practical in every way. Every learned man knows very well. I'm skipping some verses, but it's okay. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But the same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Tatikshava karunika suhrada sarvadehinam ajata shatrava santa sarva sarabhushana. The sadhu, as described above, is a devotee of the Lord. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Such a sadhu engages in staunch devotional service to the Lord without deviation. For the sake of the Lord, he renounces all other connections, such as family relations and friendly acquaintances within the material world. Engaged in constant chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Lord, the sadhus do not suffer from the material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. O my mother, O virtuous ladies, these are the qualities of great devotees who are free from all attachment. You must seek attachment to such holy men, for this counteracts the pernicious effects of the material world. Okay. So we go here now. I think back to the purport. Prabhupada's first purport says, a sadhu, as described above, is a devotee of the Lord. His concern, therefore, is to enlighten people in devotional service to the Lord. That is his mercy. He knows that without devotional service to the Lord, human life is spoiled. A devotee travels all over the country from door to door preaching, be Krishna conscious, be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Don't spoil your life in simply fulfilling your animal propensities. Human life is meant for self-realization or Krishna consciousness. Yeah. These are the preachings of a sadhu. He is not satisfied with his own liberation. He always thinks about others. He is the most compassionate personality towards all the fallen souls. One of his qualifications, therefore, is karunika, great mercy to the fallen souls. While engaged in preaching work, he has to meet with so many opposing elements, and therefore the sadhu or devotee of the Lord has to be very tolerant. Sometimes someone may ill-treat him because the conditioned souls are not prepared to receive the transcendental knowledge of devotional service. They do not like it. That is their disease. The sadhu has the thankless task of impressing upon them the importance of devotional service. Sometimes devotees are personally attacked with violence. Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Haridas Thakur was caned in 22 marketplaces. And Lord Chaitanya's principal assistant, Nityananda, was violently attacked by Jagai and Madai. But still they were tolerant, because their mission was to deliver the fallen souls. One of the qualifications of a sadhu is that he is very tolerant and is very merciful to fallen souls. He is merciful because he is the well-wisher of all living entities. He is not only the well-wisher of human society, but a well-wisher of animal society as well. See, we got the animals there, the donkeys and everybody else coming. Yeah. And St. Francis and other people, they made this comment. They said that when the Savior of this world appeared, he appeared in a manger, and the first people who saw him were asses and sheep and, you know, very simple people living in the shepherds who had no things, and three guys from the east. Bringing gifts. Yeah. Yeah. It is said here, sarva dehinam, which indicates all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Not only does a human being have a material body, but other living entities like cats and dogs also have material bodies. The devotee of the Lord is merciful to everyone, the cats, the dog, the trees, etc. He treats all living entities in such a way that they can ultimately get salvation from this material entanglement. Shivananda Sena, one of the disciples of Lord Chaitanya, gave liberation to a dog by treating the dog transcendentally. There are many instances where a dog got salvation by the association of a sadhu. Because a sadhu engages in the highest philanthropic activities for the benediction of all living entities. Yet although a sadhu is not inimical towards anyone, the world is so ungrateful that even a sadhu has many enemies. What is the difference between an enemy and a friend? It is a difference in behavior. The sadhu behaves with all conditioned souls for their ultimate relief from material entanglement. Therefore, no one can be more friendly than a sadhu in relieving a conditioned soul. A sadhu is calm. He quietly and peacefully follows the principles of scriptures. A sadhu means that one who follows the principles of scriptures at the same time as a devotee of the Lord. One who actually follows the principles of scripture must be a devotee of God, because all the scriptures instruct us to obey the orders of God. Sadhu therefore means a follower of the scriptural injunctions and a devotee of the Lord. All these characteristics are prominent in a devotee. A devotee develops all the good qualities of the demigods, whereas a non-devotee, even though academically qualified, has no actual good qualifications or good characteristics according to the standard of transcendental realization. Okay. So I said, I was a Christian. I still am a Christian. Anyway, but I was raised up in this... in the Western culture, in California and where else like that, Arizona. And my family tradition were kind of elevated Americans. We were Episcopalians, right? Okay, where's that here? Yeah, Greece there. Kind of high caste Americans, something like that. I don't know, somehow or other. You know? So I was going to the Episcopal church and, you know, hearing all these things. And but from the time I was a child, though, I was actually, you know, very... You know, what's enlivened by hearing these stories about Jesus and Christ and these spiritual things like that, so on. Yeah. So, but there wasn't much satisfaction from the church. You know, every now and again, somebody would come through who seemed to have some kind of knowledge about what was happening and some intensity. But everybody else, mostly, was just some kind of formal ritual. They would go there. I heard one Christian preacher on the radio. He says, "You come to church every Sunday. You sit in the same place. You hear the same sermon. It smells like you." So, but that's the beginning. It's like animals are tied by ropes, and therefore they follow the particular rituals of their religion. They think that's religion. But Lord Chaitanya said, this is the beginning. It's just, you know, formality like that. Then you have to actually get knowledge, you know, from your religion like that. Christ told his followers, "In your heart you should have faith like little children, but in your heads you should be as clever as snakes." Like that. So yeah, you have to get some real knowledge about religion like that. Probably again and again makes this point that it's not just sentiment, it's science. You know, what is biology? What does logi mean?
The study of life cells in the body.
Huh?
The study of the body.
Study of the body. What is the body? What does bio mean?
Life.
Life, yeah. One big biologist, I've got her name now. She was part of the Gaia hypothesis. I've got her name. She's a famous lady, biologist. But she was talking about some even more famous biologists, and he was joking with her, saying that the one thing you'll never find in any biology book is a definition of what is life. That's what everything else, mechanisms, manifestations, but never really talks about what is life, right? You know, biology. And what is geology? He's got it together. The earth. So we got biology, geology. What else we got? Logies.
Archaeology.
Archaeology. What is archaeology? I don't know what that is. Ancient? Arcane? Study of old things. Arcane. Archaea, yeah. So all these things, the word logos. Logos. Like Hewlett Packard has a logo. Yeah, everybody has a logo, right? But Micron has a logo. Yeah. So it means that which goes between. Allows us to understand the earth. Allows us to understand life. Allows us to understand old things. In the Gospel according to St. John, for our Hindu friends, yeah, there's people, this kind of, it's lost in history, but people the best they can understand that in the Middle East there were all these scriptures floating around and different things like that, and so some very revered patriarchs got together and decided, okay, let's put together an anthology which appears to be the best, you know, description of our religion, our tradition, like that. So some things they thought, these are kind of really distorted, they didn't include those. These are good, but they're hard to understand. They didn't include those. So he made up an anthology in a town called Biblios. So the anthology became known as the Bible, like that. You know. And then that's the Old Testament, and describing histories, very ancient histories, and God's dealing with people and prophets and contracts like that. So this is the Jewish tradition. But then, according to later tradition, then Jesus Christ appeared, and he's supposed to be the fulfillment, according to the Christians, certain prophecies in the Bible and coming to create the kingdom of God like that. So his stories are the New Testament. The Bible includes the Old Testament, the original Bible, the New Testament like that. It was supposed to have taken place about 2,000 years ago and following like that, you know. So I was talking about here. Oh yeah, Logi, yeah. So the major parts of the New Testament are the Gospels, the good news. What are the names of the Gospels there? And John, these four people like that. And they're kind of confused, the origin is kind of confusing. But John starts off, well, how does John start? An English translation?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Yeah, first there was the Word, and the Word was God.
Yeah.
It's very famous.
Yeah. And in Spanish, they say in the beginning was the verb. But the actual Greek word is?
Logos.
Yeah, logos. So it's a very essential word philosophically. Every human being should understand this word logos. Like, oh, maybe also it'll be geo and bio also.
Goethe's Faust translated it in the beginning was the act.
The act. Wow. Logos. But in the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God and was God and became man. So he's talking very clearly about the whole gospel is about Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the Logos. So it's that which goes between, allows us to connect up like that. You say logic, right? Logic, but we have a certain kind of logic. It's very analytical, Boolean algebra, systematic logic. If A is greater than B, and B is greater than C, then A is greater than... See, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals, yeah, like that. So these are the fundamental rules of logic, but it's a certain kind of logic. It developed a certain kind. But according to Christian tradition, then Jesus Christ is the logic, right? He's the logos. How are we going to connect up? In our tradition, we have Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar and Srivas, right? So Lord Chaitanya Krishna is the supreme personality of the Godhead, yeah? In the Christian tradition, the Trinity is the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is the Trinity, or the Godhead. So it probably uses this word. Yeah. And so we have God the Father, God the Son, Balaram, right, that is Logos, who allows us to relate, Guru. Yeah, otherwise very difficult. You know, Jesus Christ, he went to John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist was crying in the wilderness, eating locust beans and honey. Rather than grasshoppers. And he was calling people to repent, give up drink and fornication, abandon drink and fornication, and turn to the good life, like that, and return to your religion and worship God. Because it was very rampant at that time, and the king at that time was a very licentious guy. His name was?
Herod.
Evil Herod. And he married his, I don't know, somebody with some bad relations. Who did he marry? Yeah, kind of like Sugriva, you know, like that. Yeah. So it was very licentious activity, and he challenged him and everything else. And he was living in the forest, and very, you know, fired up, the Holy Spirit within him. People were coming, he was baptizing them, giving diksha with fire sacrifice, water. Like that. So Jesus Christ, the Logos, right, came in and also asked for baptism. And what did John the Baptist say?
He said, I'm not even worthy of tying your shoelaces.
I'm not worthy of catching up the latch on your sandals. Yes. Different translation here. Or nowadays, I'm not worthy of closing the Velcro on your Adidas. Like that. Yeah, people talk about this. Yeah. I'm not qualified to do this. What did Jesus Christ say?
Do this for now.
No, no. Before he said that, it's true. He said that. He said it. It's a fact. He said, but for propriety's sake, you know, it must be done. Like that. Yeah. So even he is accepting guru, acharya, a recognized spiritual person, you know, in this line like that. So many very, very important lessons, which are universal. I was sitting one time in Seattle, Vancouver, with Swayambhu Manu Das, Ajit Das, and myself. We had been invited to lunch, you know. And Swayambhu Manu before had been a Hindu, and Ajit had been a Muslim, and I had been a Christian. We're all sitting there chanting Hare Krishna, like that. And suddenly I realized that, and I said, they all go, yeah, it's a fact. You know, it's a Hindu, a Muslim, and a Christian, and we're all sitting there chanting Hare Krishna together. And we think, well, what was it that actually attracted us? What was we read Prabhupada's books, and we realized here's somebody who knows, you know, what they're saying, right? Here's somebody who knows what they're talking about, like that. So this point is that real religion is identifiable by the sadhus, right? That's how you recognize real religion. How do you recognize real religion now? For 5 points, huh? Back there, up. Everybody, listen. Real religion is recognized by saintly people. Without their manifestation, the process is very difficult, almost impossible to understand like that. You know? So here, look, Kapila is giving a very nice definition. Tatikshava, what does that mean? You're very tolerant. So I was in the kitchen, cutting the fruit for the morning breakfast for the deities in San Francisco, and Prabhupada was on the Vyasasa in the temple room, 1977, he came there. 75. And he was giving sannyas initiation to Gurudas, other people like that, taking vows of renunciation, austerity. And he's saying, this is now you should live for the welfare of others, to help other people. And he's giving this example. You get quoted this verse, Tatikshava, Karunika, Suhridam, Sarvadevinam. And he's giving this example. He said, Jesus Christ, you know, he said he did such good work. He was so tolerant like that, you know. And I was a new devotee. I was actually wondering whether or not Krishna consciousness is really like bona fide. Because everybody says, if you don't worship Allah, Muhammad, you're going to go to hell, right? You know, Mohammedans, they say this, some Mohammedans, either you must surrender to Muhammad, the prophet, or you will go to hell, you know, like that. You know? Or you must surrender to Jesus Christ, or you will go to hell. Or you must surrender to Srila Prabhupada, or you will go to hell. You know? Everybody in different religions has this same thing like that. You know? So I was kind of wondering, you know, if I was going to go to hell or not by being Hare Krishna. You know? So when I heard Prabhupada saying this, he said, you must be merciful, tolerant, Tatikshava, Karunika. He was quoting this verse. And preaching to Gurudas, he was taking sannyas, the devotees were there. And this is the meaning of this. You go out and try and live now for other people's welfare, to help them. And he said, example, favorite example of this in this country is Jesus Christ. And he said, he did such good work. You know, he tolerated these people so much, you know. When I heard Prabhupada saying this, like, you know, read something, but you can read it so many ways. To be or not to be, that's the question. You know, to be or not to be, that's the question. So, but now I actually heard, you know, Prabhupada saying it. And by sound, we can understand somebody. Sound penetrates very deep. You know? And so when I heard him, I realized I never heard any Christian in my entire life ever talk with such sincerity and feeling and experience, too, you know, about what it takes to preach. If you read Lilamrita, Prabhupada's biography, everybody I know has read that's cried, because it's just like what Prabhupada had to go through. You know, to tolerate, to make this movement a success, you realize, my God, it's like, it didn't just fall from the sky. The good fairy came and dropped ISKCON down. No, it was huge sacrifice, you know. Prabhupada's coming to America, I had like 3 heart attacks in the boat, you know, coming over here like that, you know, everything else like that, you know. So he knows what it takes. One devotee said one time, Prabhupada, it's so difficult to preach. And Prabhupada was a little surprised, and he said, this is not difficult. He said, usually when you try to do this, they kill you. You know? Muhammad was poisoned, Christ was killed, everybody is, you know, on and on. But so they're not ready to accept this. We're not ready to accept this. When devotee Makanlal said, he asked Prabhupada, he said, do the demigods know that Krishna is God? And he said, Prabhupada said, they are like you. They are knowing, but they're not always liking. Yeah. So we have this, even some of the devotees still, you know, do this austerity, do that. And we discover our purity and everything else, religiosity is not very deep. You know, a little bit of challenge and, you know. You know, people say, I'm a great Christian, I know Jesus Christ, I know all these things like that. Well, do you know him better than St. Peter? You know? Well, I don't know about that. Yeah, you know. He's very famous. It's a very nice movie. Very nice movie. Just you know, you should maybe start showing it on Christmas. Actually, the first part. But then, you know, Christ is saying, I have to go now someplace where you can't follow me. And then Peter says, I'll follow you anywhere. He kind of smiles and says, before the sun comes up tomorrow, before the cock crows tomorrow, you'll declare three times you never even knew me. Like that. No, not me. So it's a very nice presentation. Drama is so nice. It's important to communicate these things really. And it happened. And that's St. Peter. Like that, you know. So all of us very realize, we may be religious, something like that, but it's very difficult to really be tolerant to tikshava and merciful, like that. Prabhupada says that service to a superior is called mercy, like that. But he said that service to an inferior is called, I'm sorry, service to a superior is called service, but service to an inferior is called mercy, like that. It's still doing your service to somebody, you know, like that, because everybody is my superior and service to them. So we tolerate so many things, you know. In our own family, right? Tolerate so many things and go on. And I know myself, I tolerate so many things. But I keep, my mind just right away goes back to Prabhupada. And I think, my God, you know, what is this compared to how much he's tolerated me, right? He's given so much tolerance to me, so how can I not be tolerant of these things? This is nothing compared to, like, you know, what the problems I've caused for Prabhupada. You know, it's okay. So tolerate and, you know, going on like that. Prabhupada says a spiritual master should not become angry at his disciples if they cannot first understand his instructions. But there's a limit. The same lecture when Prabhupada was there in San Francisco, in Berkeley, the children started making noises and disturbances. So the sannyasis were going to take all the children out, cast them into hell. And Prabhupada said, no, that is all right, you know. So all the ladies went, Jai Prabhupada! And then Prabhupada said, but don't take advantage. Like that, you know. So, anyway, this is a very nice verse. I always like this verse. Especially now it's Christmas time, you know. And actually, I mean, I myself, well, when I was a child, there used to be so much more Christ in Christmas. Now it's like, I've seen two manger scenes out of all those house scenes. All the rest are just Santa Claus and snowmen and reindeer and snow and, you know, some kind of nostalgia for being warm around your fire with drinking buttered rum and exchanging gifts of turkey and, you know, something like that, hunting knives and cutty shark, you know, something like that. Yeah. But before, there's a lot of appreciation, you know, of and nice Christmas carols, singing songs like that. In the Oxford Book of Carol, it says that St. Francis of Assisi is either the founder or precursor of modern caroling. He would go out with his followers with drums and flutes, and they would sing about God like that. And, you know, people would throw water on them. Things like that. And he said, this is the best religion, like that, going out singing, glorifying God by music and songs, a pure heart like that. So Sankirtan is a very good process, is caroling. You go door to door, God rest ye merry, gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. And people invite you in and give you, you know, hot apples and something like that. Yeah? It's a very nice tradition. But now, Prabhupada says because people become more and more enamored by science, they think, we don't need God. You know, if the crops don't come, we'll seed the clouds or something like that. Or, you know, diseases come, then we'll just cure them with our medicine. You know, and the enemy comes to overrun our lands, and then we'll just use our weapons to defeat them. You know, so because people become very, very proud because of material abilities, and they think, you know, we're in control of everything like that. In Oakland, California, we're in Berkeley. Oakland's just over the hills like that. It's just, you know, borders on Berkeley. There's a big firestorm, maybe about 1986 86 or something like that, 87, at that. But a very big firestorm started there. And the fire was about 50 feet tall, the flames sometimes, moving about this fast. If you ran, you could get away. If you walked, you couldn't. And they were just warning people to get out of there. Some places there were cul-de-sacs, and the police were going around with like loudspeakers warning people to get out. The fire was coming. And then they have tapes of the dispatchers telling the police to pull out. He said, they haven't warned everybody else. He said, you get out now or you're not going to get out. So they just left without warning everybody, and then the fires came in. So after it was all over, he's coming up the hill to the Claremont Hotel, which is a gigantic resort hotel all made of wood. That would have been a scene. If it hit that, it would have been something beyond belief, you know. So the devotees were down, you know, at the bottom of the hill, on this side, where they already, the van door was open. They were all ready to take the deities off the altar and head towards the, the only one bridge. I'm sure it would have been crowded, but everybody would have, you know, run down into the water and drowned each other like that in the ocean, trying to escape from the fire. Could have been a catastrophe. So anyway, this at that point, it turned back. Maybe that's just because of Krishna's desire. But maybe about 6 months later, we went to visit one devotee, Atreya Rishi, and he's Iranian, but he's a multimillionaire too, you know. So Sudhamana Maharaj, our science advisor and stuff, is a good friend. So he invited him to come to lunch. We were up to his house. His house is on a hill. So two houses away had been burnt, partly. And the other side, a little cul-de-sac also, had been burnt, and some houses were burnt, some weren't like that. His house was okay, you know. So he said he got the news, and looked out the window, and this, you know, this fire's coming up, you know. And I kind of joking, because he's a rich guy. I said, well, Treya, what did you take? Your deities or your money? And he said, Prabhu, I grabbed my ass. And I ran. So it doesn't matter, you know, whether it's, you know, that point it just got out, you know. So the people, they realized this, because they were helpless. They had all the borate bombers within, you know, 200 miles coming in, dropping borate, and these guys with their water hoses, they're swinging their water hose, watching this 50-foot wall of fire coming towards them, and, you know, pack it up and, you know, turn the siren on and run like anything like that. They were just helpless. And that was just one little event like that, so on. You know? So, you know, somehow or other, God, and all these things, you know, little different events are good because they remind us of the big problem. And Prabhupada says that the main duty of a sadhu is he comes to remind people that you have to get out of this material existence. You know, material existence has four bad features. Sanskrit, you know? Janma, Mritya, Jara, Vyadi, which means? Yeah, birth, death, disease, and old age. Now, at least in our Western culture, we appreciate old age is not so good. You know, your teeth all fall out, you start to go blind, your liver is defective, you can't digest stuff, your hearing goes, your memory goes, yeah. And, you know, and you get more and more, nobody wants to talk to you anymore, and, you know, so you realize old age is, you know, ghastly thing like that. Old age, disease, you know. Everybody suffers from some kind of disease or something like that. You know? Actually, right now, everybody here probably has, if you think about it, there's several places in your body that are uncomfortable, they itch or your ache or something like that. Think about it. Right? No? Yeah. I asked one time about 5 years in Guayaquil, in Ecuador. It was a college, you know, of professors, and I said, maybe about 400 people, I said, everybody who's suffering, raise your hand. And about half the people raised their hand like that, you know? And then other people looked around, and the people who hadn't raised their hand, about, you know, 40% of them raised their hand. Kind of. And they're all kind of amazed, you know, because everybody smiles, you know, how's it going, Gary? Okay, you? Pretty good, you know. See you later, you know. Because what do the sharks do? The sharks go after blood, yeah. As soon as somebody's cut all this. So if somebody's actually, you know, manifests some suffering, then everybody else just, you know, goes for them. So you've got to walk around, I'm doing okay, buy my product, you know. Make you happy like me, you know. It's like. So actually for everybody to admit they're all suffering, you know, it was just everybody. And 10% of the people didn't, I don't know, either too stupid or, you know, or just determined, you know. They didn't look happy. It was more like, you know, I'm not suffering, you know, I refuse to admit it, you know, like that. So it's a material world, you know. So Prabhupada says a real mercy to Tikshava, a karunika. Karunika means to enlighten people to this fact, you know, is that you're going to suffer during this life. And ultimately, you're going to suffer as old age if you're fortunate, and you're going to die. You know, oh, that's okay. I'm going to die a peaceful death, right? Prabhupada says that death is the sum total of all possible bad experiences. Think of the worst experience you can. How many involve dogs? being chased by, mean dogs biting you, or being run over by vehicles, like that. I almost drowned 3 times in my life, and so on. Then I was looking at a book on palmistry a few months ago, and this little mark says, very good chance of death by drowning. It was wow. And I thought about it 3 different times. I'm almost drowned like that. It's a very terrifying experience. It's a good wake-up call, Because, I'll die an easy death. Well, here's an easy death. This is drowning, But when you're under there, one time I went out in this lake. We were just traveling with some friends, after college. We stopped in a state park, and there was a nice big lake there in the forest. We went out swimming, and I swam deep down in the cold water, and then suddenly I didn't know which way was up.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's, it's very, it's just, I'll just die an easy death, like that. It was a very terrifying experience, So I kind of like this, had just enough air to I thought I could feel which way I was floating, and it was kind of floating like this, So I kind of turned myself and gave a kick, and fortunately I didn't push myself down more, I came up. So common drownings, on like 4th of July and things like that, So deep breath, But death is the sum total of all possible bad experiences like that, So I saw one lady in there was a place, Krishna Copy Center. It's in Berkeley, California. We don't own it, So she came running back in, all these people are copying things, she's just panicking, She said, "Did anybody see my wallet?" I lost my wallet. "Is it here?" And the guy said, "Well, no, I didn't have a lot of money." She said, "Well, no, but all my pictures are there, my credit cards," and it's like her whole identity. "Who are you?" "I am this wallet." And just this identification with a wallet. Another time we were stop at a stoplight to go on the freeway. And a big motorhome with this Manipuri group, and I was sitting the passenger side, and some girl pulled up right alongside of us. Actually, it wasn't space for 2 cars. You kind of pulled up in the siding like that to go ahead of us. And I thought, wow, what if the driver can see her or not, So then he started to pull ahead, and it was narrow, so he pulled over, and some bolt sticking out of the side of the motorhome got the side of her car, and you can hear this So he stopped then, and she kind of pulled ahead, and then she got out, and then he got out. And then she started screaming, "My new car! My new car!" And she literally fell on the ground on her stomach and started kicking her legs like that. And the Manipuri grabbed the camera and were taking pictures. But it was, it was just shocking, But she identified, it was just incredible, the car, such a degree, So we're maybe a little better off than this. We don't lose our wallet. We figure, okay, I've got to get a new driver's license, credit card, call them up. "Oh, my car's got a scratch. Does the insurance cover it?" Like that. But attachment goes very deep. And so dying is, we don't even know how disturbing it is. Unless we're fortunate to have different bad experiences in life. So Tatikshva Karunika, this is a real sadhu. He tries to awaken people to this. So many times you hear people preaching, and religion means to have a good family life, and God will bless you with nice family life and obedient children, good money and good health, and you can be a grandmother on your rocking chair with your little ones surrounding you like that in old age, And this is, maybe celestial pleasures. You go to some place where you're going to enjoy, celestial pleasures like that for a long time. But all these things are actually contrary to our real nature. The real nature is we're giving. You want to give. And so we're taking and enjoying, we never feel happy. We always feel something else, something else, something else. But finally, when we're giving, to our family, our friends, our nation, our community, all living entities, it expands, and finally it reaches Krishna. And we feel happy. Wow. He's everybody's best friend. Right? He knows what's going on. Helping him, I see everything works out perfectly. And so then it's only an accelerating process. More service, more service. How can I do more service? One big management guy came. All these executives paying for this high expensive seminar, and he brought a big glass jar, and he put some rocks out and filled it full of the rocks. And he said, "Is it full?" And they go, "Yep." And he pulls out some gravel and pours it in there and shakes it. "Is it full now?" And they go, "Well, yeah." And he pulls out some sand, pours it, shakes it. And they say, "Is it full now?" And they go, "Yep." And then he pulls out a jar of water. And pours it in. And they say, "Is it full now?" And they say, "My God, as far as we can figure out, it is." And he says, "As far as I can figure it out, it is too." But his point was, but unless I put the big rocks in first, I couldn't have got them in there. So his point was, you can always, you know, block out your time for the most important thing, establish your priorities in life, and once those are established, then you can start adding more in different ways, different ways, different ways, different ways. You know, so you're serving God 24 hours a day, but now you're serving Him more intelligently. You're serving Him with more intensity. You're serving Him with more, you know, value, like that. There's no limit how you can go on expanding your service, right? Like that. I guess you can add worms that crawl. Sea worms or something, or fungus, you know, like that. You know, so it's a very nice verse. Today's what, Thursday? Only one more shopping day before Christmas. Right. Yeah, I mean, when I was a child, there was a very nice Christmas song that said, "We wish you a Merry Christmas." What's what? "We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas, and please drink our beer." That's the one. That's the one. Yeah, but at least they said Merry Christmas, you know, nowadays. You know. So, any comments anybody else has like that? I can go on forever here. I can talk, yeah?
Please do.
7 days and seven nights, yeah. Like that. We've got a host over there. He's got a nice, actually, St. Francis was the person who established this worship of Jesus in the manger. You know, probably said he was a devotee, like that. He was a devotee, yeah. Very famous. San Francisco, yeah. In Shantaras, you know, God is great, wonderful, beautiful, yeah. So, yes, sir. Yeah.
I heard someone, there's a description of Krishna in the Bible.
Yeah.
Can you explain that? Describe that.
I think when I know what it's talking about. You know, yeah.
In the Song of Solomon.
Yeah, yeah. In the Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs, it is the Song of Solomon. It's, you know, it's very Madhurya Ras, and people interpret it different ways. Solomon's the patriarch of the he's there before, when he's there with the original Jews, so he's the patriarch of the Jews. The Muslims also accept him as their patriarch, and also the Christians. And it's unfortunate because before they thought that Solomon's boatyards were in the Mediterranean, like that, but now historically they're discovering action in the Red Sea, and probably he had regular traffic with India, right? And he's talking about, "My Lord is a blackish youth," like that. Oh my God, you know, like that. And he's talking about like peacock feathers and everything. So if Solomon becomes a Hare Krishna, everybody's in trouble. The Muslims, the Jews, the Christians, everybody like that. If you start showing he's got these, you know, Hindu tendencies. My love, oh my God, it's pretty erotic. My love's belly is like a pile of grain, and her navel is like a goblet that wanteth not liquor. It's like, we're just like, wow. You know? But it's in the Bible, you know. It's in Madhurya Ras, this, you know, emotional love of God and this sentiments of conjugal love like that. So they interpret it as being the individual soul in the church, like that. But it says, I think it says, my love is a darkish youth. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I read a song also, there's another prayer that's all in offered. And it's about glorification of God.
Yeah.
And in this prayer, he says, "Praise ye all living creatures."
Yeah.
And he's got this call for all creatures to glorify God, to praise God.
There's
I don't remember the exact word, but I remember the exact
thing. No, there's a nice book by Vasumurti. I should have brought it, actually. It's called "Thou Shalt Not Hurt Nor Harm." He's Indian. For years, I mean, like 15 years ago, he was working on this. And now it's come to the point where it's like got it published by one press. And it's just, he goes historically through like the not hurting animals and their position and vegetarianism, you know, from the very earliest Christian writings to the earliest Jewish philosophers to the earliest Christian fathers. And he goes very, you know, broad thing. And mentioning, then he goes also the other side to you know, the Greek traditions and Plato and the Islamic traditions. So he goes them all. Very good book, you know. He needs some more editing, but it's good. But for example, like in the I mentioned this morning in the Republic, you know, Socrates is describing the ideal city and the ideal community with the philosopher kings and people like that, you know. And everybody's supposed to be vegetarian. They'll live on simple grains and fruits and milk like that. So then his friend says, "Oh, very difficult for people. But what if you populated your city with pigs?" You know? Yeah? What if you populated your city with pigs, omnivores, like that? And he said, oh, then right away there'll be competition for land because we have to feed the cattle. There won't be enough. And we'll fight with each other. And there'll be ill health and violence and character. He says, but then to do this, 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 this. And he gives all these different then prescriptions about how to organize society like that. But that's not his primary city. You know, his city is vegetarian, you know, and he wants to. And people criticize the Republic for being fascist and violent at times. But that's because he says it'll happen that way. We introduce slaughter of animals and this cruelty to beasts like that unnecessarily without needing to do it. And what Basu quotes one Western historian, he says it's one of the best kept secrets of Western civilization that Plato's original ideal civilization was vegetarian like that. You know. But then the same thing is there in the Bible. You know, all the Christian fathers seem that, yeah, for certain circumstances and God gave this thing, but because people were so, you know, lusty, they couldn't be satisfied with this bread and cheese, you know, and like we're going to have tonight, right? apple pie and ice cream. It wasn't enough for them, you know, so on. So then, you know, yeah, many things like that. And he goes, so many quotes. And the Bible, God says, I'm sick of your burnt offerings of ram's flesh and this. All right, if you want to eat meat, eat it. Till it comes out of your nose and ears. It's like, it's not a blessing. It's like, you know, coming, you know, it's a curse, you know, so on. Yeah. And even all the original Christian traditions, all the monks, they were all vegetarian. You know, the Greek Orthodox still are, but they stay in these temperate climates. When they went to Germany and places like that, there's nothing to eat in the wintertime except beasts who have, you know, the energy conserved in their body, like that. You know, so you have to kill in the middle of the winter. You know, it's very simple, especially in monasteries. Just letting you very simply, you got to kill some animal, and then you have to drink alcohol digested. So Saint Benedictine wrote a whole, you know, rule for monks and stuff like that. And it's very clear. This was in times of cold and hardship. Then you're allowed to eat meat sparingly and take alcohol for your health, like that, and so on. You know, but it's all, you know, it all becomes converted like that.
I think according to Ayurveda, the alcohol.
Yeah.
Does that help to break down the meat?
No, yeah, it's digestion. You can't just digest it, you know, human being. Again, it's all these biological things. A tiger has, you know, it was 1/10 the length of the digestive system and 20 times acidity just to burn it up and get it out. Whereas human beings, it causes cancer because it putrefies. I think of a very simple example. A human being can walk through a forest and pick an apple and eat it and be quite happy, you know. But he can't grab like a lamb and rip open his stomach and, you know, drink the blood and eat the liver. And, you know, it's revolting, you know. But for a tiger, you offer a tiger an apple. Smells like that. But if you're hungry, you offer some animal like that. And actually not even hungry. I've got to be to the point really of being a little bit crazy. You know, just crazy with hunger before they'll kill. Like that. You know, yeah. Yeah, but it happens. They don't eat, you know, once a month. Sometimes kill something and they put it up in a tree and you lick off the meat. It's a different body. Yeah.
You know, I heard one time when I was that because you talked about how like there was the Second World War.
Yeah.
They had to eat what was available, which was the meat.
That wasn't all they ate.
That, like certain countries like Poland,
yeah,
in that area, they didn't have meat. And they thought it was like depressing that they didn't have it. They were left to eat vegetables, but during the years that they were in occupation.
Oh, yeah.
Was very healthy.
No, there were several forest experiments for like 2, 3, 5 years, people's health improved. Yeah. Anyway, I get evidence from the other side like that, you know, and so on. Yeah. But there's so many good books, Diet for a New America. But it's probably making this point. He's a friend of all living entities. Yeah. And making a fact, before there was species, it was called species, it was called racism. And I'm doing an article now for this book, The Importance of Social Philosophy, and it was an article, 1988, an American scientist by George Stein, from the University of Miami, and he's pointing out how philosophy became political reality. And before Hitler, there was a big biologist named Haeckel. And he presented all this philosophy and wrote books and everything else on social Darwinism, like that, right? That we understand where the species came from. They came from this biological selection. Well, this is obviously what's happening in society too. And therefore, the most fittest societies and races, they survive. And therefore, we should give different valuations to different species. And, you know, we see them, we blonde, tall, square-jawed, Aryan guys should be able to annihilate these other guys just to help nature progressed like that. You know, so very, you know, it was racism to the extreme of, you know, genocide, like that. But now we consider this like stupid, you know. So he's saying, how will it be in a few years that maybe we'll see the same thing as speciesism, as being just as insane, that you think, you know, species are not alive and you can kill them or exploit them or make them work, you know. Probably saying in the Kali Yuga, because stupid people get charged with the government, the world becomes converted into a hell for the animals, like that. Unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a, so she says, you're looking for people like this. This is the essence of religion. You know, Billy Graham says the same thing. Yeah, look for a good Christian community. It doesn't say which one. Read your Bible, you know, and associate with them and do good works, and then everything will be okay. Yeah. Jainanda one time, talking to the Brahmacharis, he said, Krishna consciousness means eating and sleeping in the best of company. You just eat prasadam and sleep in the Brahmachari ashram. You have no problem. Like that. It's true for girls too. Right? Yeah. Brahmachari ashram. Yeah. There's a famous song, American folk song. I wish I was a single girl again. So on. Anyway. Yeah. So very good association. Looking for saintly people, the highest kind of saintly people we can find. You know. One devotee, he was initiated by a Vaishnava in India, Krishnadas Maharaj. And he came to London studying as an engineer, and he met, you know, Prabhupada, and he wrote to his guru. I met A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. I'm very impressed by his preaching and everything else. It would be all right for me to participate in their movement, their institution. And this guru wrote back, you fool, why are you asking me this? You know, of course, every bona fide Vaishnava appreciates A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami and his work like that. What he's doing, it would be a great honor for me, whatever you can do to help him like that. So then he wanted to take sannyas from Prabhupada, but Prabhupada passed on. And they took sannyas from Shivaram Maharaj, you know. And so now he's an initiating guru in ISKCON. He's not first or second initiated by Prabhupada. Talk about, you know, flexibility. Because the whole thing is finding sadhus and associating with them, you know. And Kapila gives wonderful information. Titiksava Karunika Suhridam Sarvadehinam. And they follow the scriptures. All their characteristics are sublime, like that. So it's pretty easy, you know. And then they increase your knowledge of God. You know, everybody can see the moon. Everybody knows God, you know, every human being. But you take a telescope, you know, you see, you know. You don't see something else. You see the same thing, right? But it's improved. So that's the only test, you know, for a guru, you know. He improves your vision. So, any kind of final comments? The king over there, Rex. A lion. No comments? We can chat a little more.
Sure.
Some Krishna carols. Some Krishna carols. Lord Chaitanya was going through the Jharikhanda forest. I like this one. And he started chanting this mantra, and all the bears and deers and tigers started coming, and the tigers were kissing the deer and, you know, weren't trying to eat them. And the elephants were trumpeting. Can you make a sound of the elephant trumpeting? Yeah. And the monkeys were doing flips in the trees and screaming in ecstasy and, you know, love of God. So you can chant this mantra now and see what happens. Here. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Krishna, 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 Krishna Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 hey! Rama, 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 Krishna, 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 Nitai Golanga, Nitai Golanga, Nitai Golanga, Nitai Golanga, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. So Prabhupada ki jai, Vaishnava Bhaktivedanta ki. Now we have a gift for the house here. Where's the master of the house? Balabhadra. We have some gifts for you here. We have for you a series of handy Hindus. So here's Garuda. And who's next?
Garuda.
Ganesh.
Ganesh. Ganesh.
Go ahead. Handy Hindus. And here, who is this?
Kali.
There you go. And last but not least,
Brahma.
Or Brahma. Brahmana. Brahma. They're called Handy Hindus. Dio. You got him there. The handy Hindus. So, Prabhupada ki. Yeah. So, Maho and I were in the temple. Bhagavad Gita. It's Christmas.